Good morning. Today's Daf and Kedushin is Yud Zayin. We are on Tes Zayin. We happen to be on Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. We are more than halfway down on the Amud, and we're starting this morning with the words Vekona Es Atzmo Bishanim. Eved Ivri has been the topic now for some time. We started on Yud Aleph, and so far Yud Aleph, Tes Vav, Tes Zayin, today's Daf, Yud Zayin, and whatever. And it continues. So we discussed the topic of Eved Ivri. Again, just as a quick refresher, Eved Ivri, so a person now is going to go into servitude. Not slavery, but servitude. And so that means to say that he's going to be indentured for the foreseeable future. Eved Ivri, as we're going to be discussing momentarily, so you're kona the Eved Ivri, you acquire the Eved Ivri. Normally, in terms of general labor relationships, so you don't acquire your worker, but when it comes to an Eved Ivri, you do. Momentarily, we're going to explain why that is, or we're going to understand it just a little bit better. But there's a kinyan. So this is a mesechta, the mesechta of kinyanim. At least the first parak of kedushin is dedicated to kinyanim. So for the first 2 weeks of the mesechta, we talked about how a man is kona a woman. He doesn't own her, but he acquires her. So from daf yadalad now, and at least for a week afterwards. So we're discussing a similar idea, and that is the kinyan of an eved ivri. So how you kona an Eved Ivri, so that we already discussed. And remember, when it comes to Eved Ivri, there are so many permutations, there's so many branches of the Eved Ivri, the Eved Ivri, the Amma Ivriya, Eved Ivri, HaMocher Sa'atzmo, Eved Ivri, Shemachru Beizdin. So there's a lot of details, which right now we're not going to go over, but just there's a lot. There's a lot over here within the Parsha of Eved Ivri and just in the Pesukim of the Torah. So you need to know the Pesukim in Parshas Mishpatim, in Parshas Bahar and in Parshas Re'eh. So just the prep work to get us here is a lot, I admit. And we never, in other words, in the Daf Yomi, we never actually went through the Pesukim inside, but that's just a time consideration. Anyway, we're going to continue where we left off. So we're a little bit behind. We're on Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. We're starting more than halfway down in the Amud V'Kones Atzmo B'Shanim. So how are you Kones Atzmo? In other words, so an Eved Ivri is Nikne, so he's acquired. So in other words, so there has to be a Kinyan going in, there has to be a Kinyan going out. So how is a Kinyan done going out? So number one, B'Shanim. In other words, at the conclusion of 6 years, so he's going to go free. So how do I know that? So here the Gemara says you don't need anything fancy. It's called the Pasuk in the Torah. Okay. Open up Parshas Mishpatim right there, the beginning of the Parsha. Right, Perichav, Aleph, Pasuk, Beis. Continuing in the Gemara. B'Yovel. Additionally, not only does he go out Sheishanim, he also goes out Yovel as well. So, in other words, that means to say, in other words, if it's 6 years, so of course he's out by Yovel, no. What the Gemara means to say over here, we made this point already previously, and that is that let's say Yovel's pogea. He's in the middle of his 6 years, and it happens to be that Yovel comes around right in the middle of those 6 years. Yovel also is going to be a motzi, something that releases him from being an Eved Ivri. So that's another pasuk here. We are in Parshas Bahar. Dichsiv, the pasuk says, Ashnas Yovel Ya'avod Imach. Again, once again, it's not a drasha, it's just simply pshat in the pasuk. Begir on kesef. Additional to that, and that is going to be diminishing from his purchase price. You purchased him for a certain amount, and now what you're going to do is you're going to prorate. In other words, so whatever the purchase price is, now figure out how long he's worked, how long he needs to work, and gir on kesef. And what you'll do now is obviously deduct the amount that he's worked, whatever the balance is going to be on his balance sheet, so that he's going to pay, that's what's called Giron Kesef. So how do I know that? Amar Chizke, Medam Akra, Vehavde, Malamed, sorry, let me pronounce it better, Vehavda, Malamed Shemegare, Mipidjonavi Yotza. So over here, when dealing with the Amma Ivriya, this is also in Mishpatim. So Mishpatim, we go directly from Eved Ivri to Amma Ivriya. And what does the Torah say? Vehavda. And you will redeem her. This is talking about the man who purchased the katana for the purpose of being an Amma Ivriya. So Yid is coming up a little bit later on in this parak. We haven't gotten up to Yid today. Hopefully later today, we're going to touch on the topic of Yid. Okay, so that's coming. But meanwhile, however, what the Torah instructs us is that that you are going to facilitate in the Pidyon. How do you facilitate Pidyon? Like we just described. In other words, you whatever the purchase price was and however long she worked for you, so what you're going to do is you're going to deduct prorate the number of years she worked. You'll deduct that off the purchase price, and then the balance she'll pay or somebody will sponsor her. Tana, we learned in a brisa. The Konas Asma because of Vishar, because of Vishtar. Okay, so over here in the brisa, how is the Eved Ivri Konas Asma? using kesef, using money equivalent, something of value, or using a shtar. The Gemara goes on to explain, Bishlam kesef kedichsev, kesef miknaso, shava kesef nami, yashiv geula so amarachmana, larabba shava kesef kekesef. So fine, so as far as money and money equivalent, so the Gemara says, okay, we have psukim for that. So, right, that we're back in Parshas Bahar. We have a pasuk for kesef, we have a pasuk for shava kesef. The Gemara says, understood how he could be kone es atzma using kesef. Ela haishtar hechidami. But the idea that he's going to be using a shtar to be poda himself. The Gemara says, I want to understand that better. So, ilim the kesef leishtar ademei. So the Gemara says, well, what is the shtar that we're describing over here? An IOU? Do you know what an IOU is? It's called money. In other words, when I write a note saying that I owe you money, so that is money equivalent. Holding a note is money. So, hainu kesef, the Gemara says that's kesef. Ela, shechur. So the Gemara says, so what we're describing over here is shtar shechur. Now, for a moment, the Gemara is going to get confused. Shtar shechur, we are not talking about Neved Kenani. We're talking about Neved Ivri. So what are we using the shtar shechur for? So shtar lamali, lemale ba'api trei, zil. Inami ba'api bedina, zil. The Gemara says, why in the world would you need a shtar? In other words, do you know how you release your Eved Ivri? You simply say go. Right? You either go in front of two people and you say go. You're in front of a basin, you say go. And what? And you'll just be mochel. Meaning you purchased him. Purchasing over here is an employment purchase. But in other words, you laid out the money for him to work for you for X number of years. Okay, you want to be mochel? You could be mochel. You have to write it. You have to write it up. You have to write a shtar shechur. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Just be mochel. Amar Rav Zos Ameres, Eved Ivri Gufo Kanui, V'harav Shemachal Al Girono, In Girono Machal. So the Gemara says over here, this is it. This is the line. Right? Yesterday's Daf, Kedushin Tetzayin. So the Gemara says is that when you have an Eved Ivri Gufo Kanui, you do have an ownership of him. And as a result of that, you can't just simply be Mochel, because Mechila does not involve the release of that kinyan. Okay, meaning. Okay, let's see if we can really say the Gemara over well. If all this was just monetary, so you know, when something is just financial, when it's just monetary, so of course Mechila is going to work, right? If I no longer want this phone, and a part of me no longer wants it. If I no longer want this phone, so what I could just simply do is I could put it down and I'm saying, I'm Mochel. And I could just simply disavow my ownership of it, and that's it. And we don't need a kinyan, and we don't need any processing. Meaning, when it comes to just something that's strictly monetary, you could be mochel, obviously. What the Gemara now is teaching us is that your relationship to the Eved Ivri, when you're kona the Eved Ivri, it's not strictly monetary. In other words, there is an element of kinyan haguf. Now, I say element because obviously it's not a kinyan haguf. Meaning something where you have a kinyan haguf, so what happens is that when you die, it goes on to the next generation. It's part of the estate. That's not what happens to an Eved Ivri. Now, later this morning, we're going to be talking about maybe the Ben stepping in the role of the father, but that's not Yerusha. It's not Yerusha. So in other words, there is no Yerusha. So even though you don't have a kinyan haguf on the Eved Ivri, what I'm about to say is going to be confusing, and I know it. Even though you don't have a kinyan haguf on the Eved Ivri, but you have a kinyan haguf on the Eved Ivri. There's an element of kinyan haguf on the Eved Ivri. Okay, I know that's hard, right? I know it's challenging to understand, but the Gemara just said it. As a result of that, so then when you're going to be Meshachrahim, so you need something. You need something to release that kinyan. So either it could be kesef, in other words, kesef is a mechanism, or it could be shava kesef, or it's going to be a shtar. But for you to just simply say, I forgive the debt, so that's not going to work over here. Okay? It's a big yesod in terms of Eved Ivri. It's a really big idea. I put a little bit of emphasis on it. We're going to go on. Yisera lavama Ivriya. Now, when it comes to Nama Ivriya, additionally, meaning an Amma Ivriya is just the female version of the Eved Ivri, but notable differences between the Amma Ivriya and the Eved Ivri, and that's what the Mishnah already taught us, and the Gemara now is quoting it. So when it comes to the Amma Ivriya, Yisera, and that is that she goes out with Simanim, meaning with the Amma Ivriya, so you're purchasing her as a katana, and she's going to be working for you. Okay. Just for a moment, right? It's just hard for our modern heads to wrap our heads around these ideas of basically buying a, you know, It's hard to say this out loud, but it's basically what we're talking about. Just to be clear, in other words, it's a child, and you're going to buy her, and she's going to work for you, and okay, it's whatever.
That's what it was.
It's really that simple. So anyway, so you're buying her as a katana, and then so in other words, she's going to go out. All the above mentioned, meaning basically see above plus simanim, meaning to say that then once she hits adulthood. Now remember, for a girl, adulthood comes in two stages. First, she's a nara, and then she's a bogeris. Okay, and again, just quick refresher. That means to say that at 12 years of age, assuming that she has shtei saros, she now transitions from being a katana to nara, which means that she's an adult. But if she were under the jurisdiction of her father, she would still be under the jurisdiction of the father. Right, the shevach of a nara is to her father, and then 6 months later, she goes from being a nara to being a bogeris. Okay, a bogeris is a full-fledged adult, so to say, at 12 and a half years of age. Sure. So anyway, so Reish Lakish says that when the Amma Ivriya, no, I'm sorry, we're not up to Reish Lakish yet. We're getting there momentarily. So in other words, the Mishnah taught us that there's another way in which an Amma Ivriya is going to be released. In addition to Kesef, Sheva, Kesef, Shtar, all the above, she also has what's called Simanim. She hits 12 years of age, regardless of how many years she worked for, so she's going to go free. Obviously, by the way, the purchaser is going to take that into consideration when buying her, meaning that, in other words, yeah, good. It's obviously going to affect the purchase price, obviously. Okay, anyway, so Ami Yivriya Konas Atzma B'Mitzvas Av. Okay, yeah, I just ran through the Chiddush. Let's do that again. Let's do it a little bit better. Let's do it a little bit slower. Ami Reish Lakish. Okay. Ami Yivriya Konas Atzma B'Mitzvas Av. Mirishus Adon Mikav Chomer. Okay, now we have what's called a Chiddush. Reish Lakish is Chiddush. Okay, this is still yesterday's daf, but it's not only a Chiddush, it's not even that intuitive. I mean, Reish Lakish is going to try to make it intuitive. It's not that intuitive. Okay, watch what happens according to Reish Lakish. So the father sold her to somebody else as an Amma Ivriya. So, and now, after that, before she hit adulthood, before she becomes a Nara, before she achieves Simanim, her father dies. According to Reish Lakish, she goes free. Now, when you think about it, it's a little bit strange. Meaning the father sold her, somebody else now owns her, has rights to her, however you would like to say it. But in other words, basically, the father has relinquished his rights over his daughter. And meanwhile, if after the sale, but before she becomes an adult, the father dies, she goes free. That's called the Chiddush. That's the Chiddush of Reish Lakish. Now, Reish Lakish is going to try to say that logic would lead us to the conclusion. It's called the Kav HaChomer. And the Gemara here articulates the Kav HaChomer. Mi Kav HaChomer ma'asim anem she'en motzi mirishos av motzi en mirishos adon. Misa she'motzi en mirishos av eino din she'motzi en mirishos adon. Okay. So the Gemara says, look, simanim doesn't take you out of the father's domain. As we just got done saying, when it comes to na'ara, still under the jurisdiction of the father. So simanim doesn't remove her from the father, and yet a death does. Simanim remove her from the reshus of her adon, therefore the death of her father for sure would. Okay. Right, good.
Who else is going
to
take?
Okay, good. So as we try to make an argument, this happens every time we make a Kav HaChomer, and that we're making a logical argument, but logic is not infallible. Logic is totally fallible. And as Phil's wondering right now, I'm not sure if I hear that argument. So what I'm going to ask Phil and everyone else to do is just let's wait, because later in the sugya, the Gemara is going to go back to the Kav HaChomer and say, I don't know if I hear that argument so well, but meanwhile, Meisvei Rav Oshia. Okay, so now for a little bit of time, what we're going to do is we're going to be spending dissecting, analyzing the Chiddush of Reish Lakish. So we start off with a Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Yisera Alavam Yivir Shekonas Asma B'Simanim V'Yimisa Nisnei Nami Misa Sa'av. The first question on Reish Lakish is a simple question, and that is, Reish Lakish, what a Chiddush. You don't think the Mishnah would elect to teach us that point? Meaning our Mishnah is actually teaching us, here's how a Amma Ivriya is going to exit. So according to you, Reish Lakish, why didn't the Mishnah mention it? It's already a good point. So Tana Vishaya, the Gemara says, yeah, but the Mishnah is not giving us every means of exit. So the Gemara says, my Shaya, the high Shaya. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. That's only a fair argument if there are other things that were left out as well. For one method to be excluded, that's not excusable. If it's, let's say, two or greater, okay, the Mishnah is not giving every one. So the Gemara says, Shari Misa Sa'adam, well, maybe the Mishnah left out the death of her owner. So the Gemara says, Imisha Misa Sa'adam, Lav Shiura, Dekem Deika Name Beish, Lo Kitani. The Gemara says, that wasn't left out of the Mishnah, because if you're reading the Mishnah carefully, the Mishnah is telling us, and here's what's extra for the Ama Ivriya. Misa Sa'adon is not exclusive to the Ama Ivriya. Misa Sa'adon is true for the Ama Ivriya. It's also true for the Eved Ivri. That wasn't left out of the Mishnah. Ve'ele Nisne, Tana Davar Sheish Lo Kitzva, Ketani Davar, Ele Nisne, Tana Davar Sheish Lo Kitzva, Ketani Davar Sheish Lo Kitzva, Lo Ketani. So the Gemara says, well, you know, the reason why the Mishnah left out Misa Sa'av is because it is not on the calendar. In other words, we're looking for something Sheyesh Lo Kitzva. 6 years. Yovel. These are totally predictable. However, death of the father, death of the Adon, totally unpredictable. And the Mishnah wanted to leave us with only things that Yesh Lo Kitzva. The Gemara says, what about Simanim? De'in La Kitzva, V'Ketani. Now, Simanim, that's her physical maturity. We kind of know when she's going to have physical maturity, but we don't exactly know. So Amar Rav Safra, Ein Lam Kitzva, Lama Lava, Yesh Lam Kitzva. As we are now on the top of Tez Zayin Amud Beis, Yesh La Kitzva, Lamata. So the Gemara says Simanim is set. Now, granted, the parameters of Simanim is not set on both sides, both in terms of the minimum maximum, but it's set in terms of the minimum. And that means to say that Simanim are only significant when she hits 12 years of age. Okay, in other words, sorry, this is going to be a little bit graphic, but it's fine. We're adults. It works. And that is that in order for her to have to be a Naren, to have Simanim, so that means to say that she has to have actual physical maturation, and that is two hairs, the growth of two hairs. The need that we've discussed this extensively. In fact, we're about to be quoting a Brisa from the Gemara Nida. So anyway, the point is that the Simanim are only significant after she turns 12, as we're going to see momentarily. Any growth that occurs before that is going to be not considered Simanim, right? To your question in terms of where they need to be, and so the Gemara and Nida actually has that discussion. Again, all this is legal. So if you know, in other words, it's the Gemara Nida asked your question. I don't remember the answer, but I do remember very clearly the Gemara asked your question. So the Tanya we learned in a Braisa, Ben Teisha Shanim Shevish Teis Arishuma. So if you have a 9-year-old, now it happens to be we're talking about boy, but it's the same discussion, boy, girl, and physical maturation. So 9 years of age, Shesara Shuma, it's not hair. Not legally hair. The Gemara describes it as Shuma. In English, I know they call that a mole. Whatever the case is, it's not legally hair. Shuma. Even from 9 to 12 years of age is Shuma. And Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Simon. Now, Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda disagrees, and he says, no, at that point in time, it's considered a simon, right? We're right now focusing on the Tanakhama. And Ben Shal, Shesrei Shanav Yamecha, Divrei HaKol, simon. And at 13 years of age, it's a simon. In other words, here at 13 years of age, it's in fact considered a simon. The Gemara Nida, this is not our discussion right now, but the Gemara Nida goes over, you know, that we basically jump from 9 to 12, and we skip his 12th year of life, and we jump right to 13. The Gemara Nida is bothered by that very obvious point, and the Gemara Nida addresses it. We're not learning the Gemara Nida right now. What do we need to know? All we need to know is that Simanim and physical maturation for both boys and girls do have a kitzvah. It's coming at a set time. In other words, you have to be, for a girl, minimum 12 years of age. Okay, so you're trying to argue that you know why the Mishnah doesn't have Misas Ha'adon, Misas Ha'av? Because ain't lo kitzvah. It's an unpredictable event. Simanim, however, are predictable. Okay. So not totally, but in other words, but at least its range begins when she's 12 years of age. Mesa Rav Sheshe. So far, we are attacking, defending the position of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish gives us a chiddush, and that is that after the sale of his Ketana daughter, she is released with, so Reish Lakish says, the death of her father. Misas Ha'av. That's the Chiddush of Reish Lakish. And so we are right now in the Gemara, and we are assessing whether or not this is a supportable position. Mesav Rav Sheshes, we're on Tetzayin Amud Aleph. We are five lines down from the top of the Amud. Rabbi Shimon Amar, Arba Ma'anikin Lahem, Shlosha Be'ish, Ushlosha Be'isha. Okay, there are going to be four people getting severance, three by a man, and three by a woman. Now, I know those numbers are confusing, but in a moment you'll understand. It's a Venn diagram. So, v'iyata yochol lomar arba be'echa lefish ein samanim be'ish, and ein ritzia be'isha. Now, in terms of this hanaka, so a hanaka is going to be occurring to four different categories, but when you take the Venn diagram, you're going to find that you're only going to be able to circle three for the man, and you're only going to be able to circle three for the woman. Okay? Because there are certain things that just simply are inapplicable, N-A to a man, and N-A to a woman. What's N-A to a man? What's not applicable to a man? So there's no simanim, meaning that there is no exit of a man with simanim, right? For the man who has reached physical maturity, he doesn't leave. Well, how does he leave? Well, we already learned. 6 years, Yovel, right? Kesef, Giron Kesef, Shtar. Okay, good. So, but in other words, but not Simanim. So that's why, in other words, of the four categories, so one is, the man is going to be excluded from one because simply he doesn't have it. And what doesn't a woman have? She doesn't have Ritzia. So, in other words, she does not have the option to opt in and to work even longer. Ritzia is only by a man, not by a woman. We've already established that point. Now, v'imisa, nisneinam imisa sa'av, the Gemara says, now, as we are making distinctions of evda ivriyama ivriya, between man and woman, and you're telling me, Reish Lakish, that ama ivriya goes free with misa sa'av, hey, why didn't the Mishnah say that? Meaning misa sa'av, or it's not a Mishnah, it's a Braisa, but regardless, why didn't the Braisa say that? The Braisa should have pointed that out as another basic difference between ama ivriya, evad ivri. So the Gemara says, now, what are you going to argue? Maybe something was left out, meaning the Braisa over here is not comprehensive. Gemara says it's really hard to argue considering the fact that the Braisa uses the number four. So the Gemara says, well, maybe over here we're only looking at things which are predictable and not some things which are unpredictable. And the Gemara says, now you're telling me about Simanim and you talk about the predictability of Simanim like we just argued. The Gemara says, look, if go over that list, one of the things mentioned in the list is Misas Ha'adon. Misas Ha'adon is perfectly unpredictable and yet it's there. So really, we are trying and struggling to defend Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, you maintain Misas Ha'av is going to be a motzi. It will release her from her being an Ami Ivriya. So now we're going Braisa after Braisa, and there's no mention of it. And in places where we expect to see it, it's not there. So Misas Adon Ami Lokitani. So the Gemara says, well, here's what I'm going to argue. And that is in the Braisa that we just cited. Misas Ha'adon, it's not there. Now, you go back to the Braisa, by the way, and you'll notice that the Braisa doesn't tell us what the four are. Meaning, we assume what the four are, but we don't know what the four are. Meaning, the four are, I didn't say this when we read the Braisa. Okay, that's on me. Anyway, but it's not too late. The four categories are Yotze B'Sheish, Yovel, Nirtza, and Yotze B'Mitzas Adon. Right? Those are the four categories. So now that those are the four categories, then one of them is Misas Ha'adon. So now the question is very compelling. Reish Lakish, how come it also doesn't mention Misas Ha'av? So the Gemara makes the following argument in defense of Reish Lakish. Misas Ha'adon Namelokitani. So Misas Ha'adon is not there. Ve'ela Arba'a. So Maninu. So the Gemara says, okay, so if Misas Ha'adon is not there, so how do we get to the number four? It'll go like this. Shanim Yovel. Yovel Shavitzia. Ama Ivriya B'Simanim. Okay, it's creative, right? The four categories are going to be the 6 years. That's easy. Yovel, meaning if Yovel's Pogeya, if it hits in the middle of the 6 years, and Yovel Shel Ritzia. Well, Yovel Shel Ritzia, that means to say that you were a nirza, and now you're going to be working indefinitely, but indefinitely means up to Yovel, right? The Gemara over here is describing that as a totally separate category, okay? And Ama Ivriya, which leaves Bissimanim. Okay, so those are the four categories of the Braisa, and if, in fact, that's true, we've defended Reish Lakish. Again, the question on Reish Lakish is, why doesn't it mention Misa Sa'av? And the answer is because the Braisa wasn't even talking about Misa Sa'adon. That's why I didn't mention Misa Sa'av. Hachinami Mistabra, and the Gemara says, I'll tell you what. It's not a dechia. It's not like we're forcing an answer to defend Reish Lakish. Really, the truth of the matter is, we're right. The four categories as we just outlined them are correct. How do I know that? Diktani Seifa. Because read on in the Braisa. There is no simanim by Isha. There is no Ritzia by Isha. In other words, that's the end of the Braisa. We did that. The imisa Isha Mia Mishkachala Arba'a. Shma minam. Now, if the four categories are 6 years, Yovel, Simanim, and Misa Sa'adon, a woman, her Venn diagram should be able to circle all four, not just three of them. Ah, we're right. Meaning Misa Sa'adon is not one of the four. Okay, good. We are spending a lot of time over here trying to defend Reish Lakish. Good. It's a mitzvah. So Mesiv Rav Amram, the Elamanikam Lama Yosef Bishanim Yovel Misa Sa'adon, Vami Yivriya Bisimanim. Okay, so Rav Amram's got a Braisa. Now this Braisa is going to be really tough on Reish Lakish. Because in this Braisa, how is a woman going to go free? Here we go. 6 years, Yovel, death of the owner, and Ami Yivriya leaves with Simanim. Reish Lakish, you know what should have been in that Braisa? Death of the father. V'imisa, nisne nami misa sa'av. Yeah, that should have been in the Braisa. V'chitema, and perhaps, tana v'shayer. So the Gemara says, okay, well, maybe over here the Braisa is not exhaustive. Ha'elu kitani. Yeah, but careful reading of the Braisa tells us the word elu. V'chitema, davishesh lo kitzva kitani, davishen lo kitzva lo kitani. And again, maybe we're looking at things which are predictable. V'asimanim dein la kitzva v'kitani v'chitema, achinami kitarev safra. Now, simanim is predictable, like Rav Safra explained earlier this morning. Ve'eka misas adam. The Gemara says, okay, but there's also misas adam, which is perfectly unpredictable. And yet, it's in the Braisa. So, according to you, Reish Lakish, we have misas adam in the Braisa, and you think that a girl is going to be released with misas ha'av? Where do you see that in the Braisa? It should be there. It's not. To Yufta, to Reish Lakish, to Yufta. Finally, the Gemara says that this Braisa over here is just simply a slam dunk against Reish Lakish. V'har Reish Lakish kavachomer amar. So the Gemara says, okay, but the whole position of Reish Lakish was principled and founded on a kavachomer. So the Gemara says, kavachomer prichahi. Okay, so Phil made this point the moment here, the kavachomer, and the Gemara is going to make the point, and that is that the kavachomer is not solid logic. Why? V'shum deikah l'mifrach, ma l'simanim, nishtane guf. I could see a really fundamental difference between Simanim and Misa Sa'av. When it comes to Simanim, so basically she is now a different person. Simanim is maturation, physical maturation. So do you know why Simanim, she is going to be released by Simanim? Because now she is a different person, a physical different person. It's a Shinui Aguf. Masha'enkin, when it comes to Misa Sa'av, that's perfectly external. That has nothing to do internally with her and her growth and her maturation. So you really can't compare them. They are really apples and oranges. To make a kavachomer, to build a kavachomer, comparing the two when the two are perfectly incomparable. Okay. Okay. Oddly enough, by the way, we just dismissed Reish Lakish. We refuted Reish Lakish. And meanwhile, the Gemara is going to spend a little more time with Reish Lakish. Okay, it's obviously humored me. Usually after Tiyufta, the Gemara moves on to a new topic. Okay, well, a little bit more. Tinichada, one Braisa reads Enik Eved Ivri Latzmo. Right, I think I'm pronouncing it correctly. In other words, Ma'anik versus the whatever the when discussing it as a noun. I'm more than happy to be wrong. So Enik Eved Ivri Latzmo. Enik Ama Ivriya Latzmo. So who receives severance? The Eved Ivri receives the Hanaka. So he's going to receive it. Meaning the money goes from the owner to him. He gets to keep it. Same thing is true regarding the Ama Ivriya. Money goes from the owner to her. She gets to keep it. So far, so good. Tanyidach, however, there's another braisa anek ama ivriya umitziyasa le'avia ve'ein l'rabba el'schar batala bavad. So, when an ama ivriya gets her anaka, goes to her father in the second braisa, and when the ama ivriya finds a mitziya, who gets to keep it? Dad. It goes to dad. What about the owner? In other words, she's employed by the owner. She's now going to be spending time fetching the mitzia, picking it up, delivering it to her father. So you know what the owner is going to get? So he's going to get schar batala. In other words, time, of course, is money, and you took off in order to get the mitzia. So that's the only compensation that the owner is going to get, but the owner does not get the actual mitzia itself. So my love, hadanafka misananim, hadanafka la b'misas av. So the Gemara says, now, we obviously have a basic stira between the two brises. Brisa number one tells us that Hanaka goes to the Ama Ivriya. Brisa number two tells us that the Hanaka goes to the father. And the Gemara says, I don't get it. how do you make sense of that? So the Gemara says, well, if Reish Lakish is right, now I know that's a huge if, because we just spent, right, over 20 minutes refuting his position. Okay, I know that. But if Reish Lakish is right, at least we have now a wonderful way of explaining the brisa. And that, of course, is that when we said that the Hanukkah goes to her, that's when she left her servitude through the death of her father, right? And it makes perfect sense, meaning now who does the Hanukkah go to? Well, it would have gone to dad, but he died. Oh, so she gets to keep it. Ma she'en came, the brisa that says that it goes to her father is talking about where she left with Simonim, right? Which, by the way, you think about it, obviously, and that's what we're supposed to do with every Gemara. You think about it, it makes perfect sense. Because when does she leave? When she's a Nara. Meaning when she turns to become a Nara. But she, as a Nara, she's still under the jurisdiction of her father. So what the Gemara now is suggesting is that if she left with Simanim, that Hanukkah that she receives is going to go to her father. That is what the Gemara is proposing. So lo, the Gemara says, okay, I hear the proposal, but no. The Gemara says, look, you can offer another explanation, and you don't need Reish Lakish. And that is that, in other words, we're describing, both prices are describing, where she left her Ama Ivriya while dad was alive. She left via Simanim. And when does dad get the Hanukkah? It's very simple, when he's alive. When does dad not get the Hanukkah? Very simply, when he's not alive. But in other words, but the death of the father does not cause her to leave. It just simply means that if she received the Hanukkah, and at that point in time, she no longer has a father, she gets to keep it. Okay. So, Bishlama enakama ivri alatzma lemute achin detanya. So the Gemara says, now, I understand the Bryce is telling us that the Ama Ivriya gets her Hanukkah, meaning her, and it doesn't go to somebody else. That we learned in the Bryce of Venus Nachal, Tamo, some live Nechem Acharemo, some live Nechem Velo, but no Sechem live Nechem Mikanchein Adamarish Zuchus Bito live no. Any Zuchus that a father gets in his daughter, and we just went over, he gets her Mitzia, he gets her Mitzia Dayan, or all the Zuchuyos that the father gets in the daughter, so that is all non transferable. It stays with the father, and if the father dies, none of those zechuyos transfer over to the brothers. Even though they inherit the estate, they don't get the rights of the daughter. Okay. The Ella and Eved Ivri la'atzma pshita. So Ella Laman. The Eved Ivri, who now is discharged honorably with severance. So now, the Bryce is telling me, you know who gets the Anaka? He does. To which the Gemara says, and who else is a candidate to get it? Meaning, I need a brisa to teach me that point. I'm Rav Yosef Yud Keres Kachazina Hacha. Okay, in English, the expression is you're making a mountain out of a molehill. So that's a English expression. The Gemara over here has a similar expression. Yud Keres Kachazina Hacha. The letter Yud, the smallest letter of the olive base. So basically, you're turning it into a city. Like, perfect. It's great. Okay. In other words, yeah, okay. It's an obvious point that the Bryce teaches us. Great. Abaya Amar Ahach Amar Rav Sheshet Hamani Tutaihi Netanyu Tutai Omer. So Velo Labachova. And the Gemara says, alternatively, one way you could just simply say it is okay. Okay, we would have known it anyway. An alternative way to explain the brisa, and there's a chiddush in the brisa, and that is the brisa is telling us that the Hanukkah has to go to the Eved Ivri, meaning You cannot give it to his creditor. This is a point that we made already, but we're going to say it again. And that is that, right, the Shibud of the Rav Nassim tells us that if A owes B and B owes C, so now what A can do, I'm sorry, what C can do is he can collect from A. Okay, that's Shibud of the Rav Nassim. So if my Eved Ivri owed money to somebody else and he just finished his service with his owner, so now what his creditor can do can just simply go to the owner and say, hey, don't give him the Hanaka, give me the Hanaka. He owes me the money. So what we're learning together is, no, that's the Chiddush. The Chiddush is that you can't do that. Even if we subscribe to Shibud of the Rav Nassim, you cannot do that. You must give the Hanaka only to the Eved Ivri who has been discharged. Okay. Gufa. Okay. For those wondering, you're hearing shofar in the background. It's because you're hearing shofar in the background. Okay, just clarification. Sounds of Elul. Okay. Gufa. Elam anikam lema yosef b'shan v'yovel misas adon. Ami ivriya b'simanim. Okay. We're going to go back to the brisa. We're going to revisit the brisa and make some more points. Okay, we're almost done with this section of the Gemara. I admit it's a long section. So, in terms of how an Eved Ivri is going to exit, Shanim, Yovel, Mises Adon, Ami Ivri Simanim. Good. By the way, the more times we say it, the more times we go over it, it'll become like second nature. That's the whole point of, you know, especially these sugyas which are not Lamaisa. In other words, we haven't been working with Eved Ivri, Ama Ivri in some time. So Ava Boreach. Okay, this part now is new to us. We haven't heard this yet. But if, let's say, the Eved Ivri is Boreach, the Yosef Igaron Kasev, Ein Ma'anikin Lo, there are two types of Eved Ivris who are ineligible for severance. Okay? And by the way, this is going to be very intuitive. Why? Simply because they didn't satisfy the contractual obligation. If you run away in the middle of your 6 years, okay, kind of makes sense, by the way, right? In other words, you jump ship. You're supposed to be working for 6 years. You didn't work for 6 years. You're not entitled to a severance. And you have to be garan kesef. And also, if your release is done via you paying your way out of the balance of years, again, prorate, and pay out the balance of the years, you also are not entitled to hanaka. Rabbi Meir Omar in manikin lo. Sorry, let's do that again. Let's do that better. Rabbi Meir Omar Borech in manikin lo. You have to be garan kesef, manikin lo. So Rabbi Meir disagrees on this point, and he feels that the Borech is not going to be entitled to severance, but the Giron Kasef will be. Rabbi Shimon Omer Arba, Manikim Lam Shlosha, Beish, Shlosha, Beisha, Viata Yocholam Arba, Bechamam, Lefisha, Ain't the Manim Beisha, Ritzia Beisha. The position of Rabbi Shimon, which we already heard this morning, so I'm just going to I'm going to move on. Right? The four categories, the Venn diagram, where we're circling only three for the man, three for the woman. Okay, good. Minahani Militan Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa. So when is the when is Hanukkah done? So Yachol lo yemanikim ella yotze b'sheish minayin l'rabos yotze b'yovav misas adam v'ami yivriya b'simanim. Meaning, when is someone entitled to Hanukkah? So I would have thought that it's only after you work 6 years. Why would I have thought that? Because I'm reading a pasuk in the Torah. I didn't read it, but in other words, if you open up to Parshas Re'eh and you look at the pasukim over there, where that's the place where the Torah introduces us to Hanukkah, to the severance package. So the Torah describes where he's working 6 years, and then he goes free, and you give him Hanukkah. That's why I would have thought, that's the Yachol. I would have thought that Hanukkah only applies where he is Yotze B'sheish. What about the other methods of being discharged? Yovel, Amisa Sa'adon, Ami Ivriya with Simanim. How do I know they get Hanukkah? So Tamalomar, Tishachenu. So the double language is a ribui. Okay, now, according to the Tanakhama, how do I know to exclude the cases of Borech and Giron Kesef? And the reason why is because Tishachenu means your job is done, your term is finished, and now I'm releasing you, and now I'm going to give you severance. If, however, if it is cut short by either A, he ran away in the middle, or B, he paid down the number of years that he is no longer going to work for you, so in either one of those cases, it's not tishalchena. He has not concluded and completed his service terms, and so therefore, he's not going to get a nakah. That is according to the Tanakhama. Rabbi Meir Omer Barech Emanikim Lo Dein Shiluch Meimach Avay Yosef Bigaron Kesef Shishiluch Meimach. Now, the Rabbi Meir disagrees on one of these points, and the truth of the matter is that Rabbi Meir's position is easier to understand. At least I'm speaking from my standpoint. Rabbi Meir says that, look, if you're Boreach, you're not entitled to severance. Again, it's mistaber, right? Makes a lot of sense. However, Giron Kesef, in other words, you needed to work for 6 years. You worked for three. I'm just giving an example. And what you do, you bought yourself out for those the last 3 years. But that was a buyout of the last 3 years. It's not like you jump ship. You just simply bought your way out of those last 3 years. That is considered completion of service, according to Reb Meir. Therefore, according to Reb Meir, you are entitled to a hanukkah. Okay.
Maybe it's deducted from the price he pays for his freedom.
I was thinking along those lines. It doesn't sound that way. It sounds like, at least according to the Tanakhama, the only deduction is coming off the years, and a hanukkah is not incorporated. Borecha Shlom Abayim. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. The Boreach, in other words, he runs away and we're talking about Hanaka, right? And we're talking about a severance package. The Gemara says, why are we having a discussion about a severance package? Meaning, if you're supposed to work for 6 years, this person purchased you with the plan that you're going to be working for X number of years, right? Let's call it six, okay? And now, halfway through, you run away. Oh, you're not going to get a severance. Okay. How about this? You owe him 3 years. So, in other words, either you work or you pay for those. In other words, what's going on over here? So, Berech Hashlam Abay. So, Detanya Minan La Berech Shechayv La Hashlam Tamalomer Sheishanim Ya'avod. Okay. It's a simple reading of the Pesukim in the Torah. In other words, it's a 6 year employment contract, and so you can't run away in the middle. And if you do, you need to make up whatever time is left, either through actual employment or, I would imagine, paying for those years of employment. So yachla filu chala tamalamar v'shvi'i yetzei. Now, what about sick? What about sick leave? So that's not included in this halacha. In other words, if you're sick, so that we follow that under the case under the category of onus. So anyway, but put sick leave aside. The Gemara is basically saying, I don't understand. You run away, and we're talking about whether you get severance. You don't get severance. You run away. So why don't we talk about hanaka? So the Gemara, I'm sorry. Why don't we talk about hashlama? So Amr of Sheishas Hacha, but my skin and Kagon Shabarachu Pagabo Yovo. So the Gemara says, well, what we're discussing over here is that you were a Borech, and then while you were AWOL, so Yovo has now come and gone. So Mao de Timaho Vafikle Yovo Shiluch Miyamach Karina Bach, Velo Niknase Venanikle. So it's a funny Havamina. It's funny, meaning I do struggle to understand the Havamina, but that's on me. So, but the Gemara says, well, I would have thought, Yovel did come and go. So maybe we shouldn't be conis, and we shouldn't be punitive with him, and we should give him a severance package. Kamash Malan. The Chiddush is no. In other words, he needs to do Hashlama, and he no longer qualifies for Hanukkah. Amar Mayachal Afilu Chala Tamalamar Vishvias Yetzei Afilu Chala Kol Sheish VeHatanya. The Gemara says, now, we're going to spend just a little bit of time over here on the sick leave. Okay, in other words, he's supposed to work for 6 years and he got sick and he's not working. The Gemara says, well, if it's sick leave, it's excused and he doesn't have to make it up. So the Gemara says, Chala Shosh V'Avishlosh Enu Chayiv LaHashlim. Chala Kol Sheish Chayiv LaHashlim. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. I have a braisa that tells us the following. In terms of sick leave policy for an Eved Ivri, basically half of it excusable. 3 years sick, 3 years working. So you don't have to do Hashlam on those 3 years. Okay? 6 years sick, you have to make it up. Now, obviously, by the way, the Gemara is going to point out momentarily, there's a big difference between 3 and 6 years. What happens in that interim period? So I'm Rav Sheshes, Ba'usa Maisa Machat. So the guy says, so basically what we're trying to wrap our heads around is that the previous Bryce said that if you're sick, it's excusable. But meanwhile, we just learned together that if you're sick for a period of time, it's inexcusable. So the Gemara says, yeah, in Echinami, what we're describing previously is that you were sick, but you did some work. Osa maismacha, you did needlework, stitch work, whatever. In other words, even in your state of illness, there were still things that you could do. Okay, hagu v'kashya, amart chalash shalosh v'ave shaloshin, ein chayv lahashlim, ha'arba chayv lahashlim, ein masefa chalakoshesh chayv lahashlim, arba ein chayv lahashlim. Okay, the Gemara now is just going to clean up the discrepancy between three, what happens between three and six. In other words, you're sick 3 years, you get a pass. You're sick for 6 years, you don't get a pass. What about six being sick for 4 years or 5 years? So the Gemara says, Ema Sefer, we did that already. So, okay, Hachi Kamar. The Gemara says, here is how you're going to read the Braisa. Chala Arba, Nasa Kimisha Chala Kol Sheish V'chayv L'Hashlam. Okay, good. It's what you would have expected. Meaning anything greater than three is basically now going to be inexcusable. You need to do Hashlama for if you were sick and unable to work for anything more than half the time. You're supposed to work 6 years. You're sick for 3 years, excusable. Anything greater than three, inexcusable, meaning you have to do a shlama.
That's a really long time, 3 years.
I know. Right? Whatever. I just revisited long-term disability. Trust me. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, good. We're on Yuzayin Amud Aleph. We're at the two dots. It's about a quarter of the way down, and this I'm going to run through this next piece of Gemara, but it's good. We're trying to catch up to speed. Today's daf is Yud Zayin. We're now going to be spending time on the mitzvah of Hanukkah. Okay, you got to give a severance package. I've been saying now for a good part of today's daf, when you're entitled to a severance package, when you're not entitled to the severance package, what is the severance package? Well, actually, the Pesukim in the Torah describe, but we know how the Gemara operates. We're going to be darshing the psukim. That's Torah Shabbat Peh. Tana Rabbanan kama manikim lo chamish lami kol min v'min. Now, if you look carefully at the psukim, you don't have to look that carefully. You just have to know the psukim. V'chis v'shalchena, this is in Parshas Rei. V'chis v'shalchena chavshim imachlos v'shalchena reikam. Don't send them out empty-handed. Ha'anik ta'anik lo. So what you're going to do is that you're going to support him. Mitzoncha migarncha miyak umikvecha. And you're going to give him sheep and grain and grapes or wine. Asher berecha Hashem lokecha titein lo. Whatever God blesses you, that's what you're going to give him. Okay, great. So you read the psukim. So now you have an idea of what you're supposed to give him as a severance package. But all we have is just an idea. Three items which are mentioned. We're not given an amount in the Torah. So how much do you give him? Hence we have what's called Torah Shabbat Peh, filling in the details. So, and what are the details? It's a machlokas. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, Kama Mam Nikan Lo Chamish Shalim Kol Min V'Min, Shein Chamish Esrei Shalim Divrei Rabbi Meir. So it's going to be five shalim from every one of the types mentioned in the Torah, making for a total of 15. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shloshim Kishloshim Shal Eved. The Hanukkah package is going to be valued at 30 shalim, two times greater than that of Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, Chamishim Kechamishim Shebe Erchen. And according to Rabbi Shimon, it's going to be 50 shalim, a value of 50 shalim. Now, Amar, the Gemara now is going to dissect each of the positions. So, Chamish Shalim Mikomin V'min Sheheim Chamish Esrei Shalim Divrei Rabbi Meir Rabbi Meir Minyan Asalash Me'inan. Question number one of the Gemara. Rabbi Meir says it's going to be 3 times 5, which is 15. Okay. He didn't have to tell us what 3 times 5 is. In other words, he could have just simply said 3 times 5, and we would have figured 15. So, Hakamash Malan Mitzahu Delo Mitzah Le Mehai Minyana V'Ibatza Lai Mechad Mina V'Tafi Le Mechad Mina Leithlan Ba. So the Gemara says the reason why he got to 15, he said the number 15, is because the total is more important than the parts. Meaning you got to get to the number 15. Meaning, right, if for those who love symmetry, you'll do 5, 5, and 5. But it doesn't have to be 5, 5, and 5. It could be 4, 5, and 6. In other words, as long as you get to 15, that's critical. My time at the Rav Meir Yalef Reikam Reikam Ebechor Ma'alahalan Chamei Shlaim Avkan Chamei Shlaim. So how did he get to the number 5? All right, 5 for each one. How did he arrive at that number? So he learned it through Gzeira Shava, taking us to the Parsha of Bechor. Pidyon HaBen, which is 5 Salaim. Ve'im HaChamish Salaim Mekulo. The Gemara says, why not a total of 5? Iksiv Rekam Lebesov Hashta. I'm sorry, Kiddikam Art. Hashta Dixiv Rekam Beresha. Shdi Rekam Atzon. Rekam Agoren. Rekam Ayekev. You have to look at the syntax of the Pasuk. It says Rekam on the front end. Rekam is modifying all three types. So v'neilav reikam reikam me'olas ri'iyam. So now, if we have the gzera shava, which we do according to the Tanakama, and it takes us to the parsha of Kisisa, which it does. So why not compare it to the olas ri'iyah? If you look contextually over there at the pasuk, so it's talking about the mitzvah of olas ri'iyah. That's the carbon you bring when you're ola l'regel. So Amakra, Shevrech Hashem Elokecha. The aliyah l'regel carbon does not need five slime. It can be less than five slime. Actually, the truth of the matter is the Torah does not give us amount, but it doesn't have to be five slime. So why is the Tanakama sending us to Parshas Kisisa, but specifically to Pidgin Aben, which is five slime? The Gemara says, Shevrech Hashem Elokecha. Because if you look at the Parsha of Re'eh of the mitzvah of Hanaka, what does the Torah say? You're going to give him based on the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. Oh. In other words, abundance. In other words, if we're going to make a gzeira shava, so we're going to look for the greater number, and notably five slime. Okay, that is all now an analysis of the shita of the Tanakama. We're up to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shloshim Kishloshim Shal Eved. My time to Rabbi Yehuda, Yalav Nisin and Nisin Ami Eved. He has a gzeira shava taking us to an Eved. Now, when we say Eved over here, we mean that if you have an Eved Kanani and he was killed by somebody else, that person owes you, the owner, 30 slime. So malahaglam shoshim afkan shloshim. So over there 30, over here 30. Benelef nesina nesina me'erchin. So the Gemara says, if I have nesina gzer shava, let's go to erchin, the parsha of erchin. Malahalan chamishin afkan chamishin. There by erchin, maximum number is 50. So chada de tefasta meruva lo tefasta tefasta meruva tefasta. Gemara says, look, first of all, I have an option of 30. I have an option of 50. You grab too much. You haven't grabbed at all. An expression the Gemara uses often. The ode, Evan me Evan, have a leila melef. And also, it's a better contextual fit. The Gzerish of it taking us from Evan Ivri to Evan Kanani, so the common denominator is Evan. Different types of Evan, but at least there's a common denominator. As opposed to going to Erchin, Erchin has nothing to do with Abdus. Now, that was Shita number two, that was Reb Meir. Now we're up to Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe Shimon. You're correct. Thank you. Okay, I'm going too fast. And the third sheet is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Amar Chamishim Ke Chamishim Shebe Erchin. Now Rabbi Shimon actually takes us to Erchin, the Parsha of Erchin. Maximum Erchin donation is 50 Salayim. So my time at the Rabbi Shimon Gamar Nesina Nesina Me Erchin Malahalan Chamishim Avkan Chamishim. And he has Gzera Shava. Rashi notes over here an hour Amud, right? That's a lot of Gzera Shavas going in different directions. Obviously, each one of them had a different tradition in terms of how the Gzera Shava works. Now the Gemara says, now 50 is the maximum, but the Erechin is a schedule based on your age and based on your gender. And 50 is the most that you can give. But meanwhile, the minimum, if I remember correctly, is 3 Salayim. So why did we go with the number 50? So because the Pasuk says, Asher Berechecha. So v'neilav nesin nesin ami eved malahalan shloshim afkan shloshim. So the Gemara says, why not learn from Eved, which is 30? So chada tefasta meruba lo tefasta. So the number one, if you take too much, you haven't taken at all. The od Eved me Eved havalei lemeilav, and on top, meaning I'd rather go with a smaller number than a larger number, which would bring me to Eved, which is 30, not 50 of Erchin. That's number one, and number two. Is Evan me Evan Havelel Melef? The Gzera Shava of Evan is a better Gzera Shava. So Rabbi Shimon, Micha Micha Gamar, so Rabbi Shimon had a different Gzera Shava. Meaning the Gzera Shava did not come via the word Eved, nor did it come through the word Nesina, but rather it came from the word Mach, which means to become impoverished. So Bishlam the Rabbi Meir Haine Dichsiv, Okay. Bishlam the Rabbi Meir Haine Dichsiv, Son Vigorin Viyakev, Ella Rabbi Huda of Rabbi Shimon, Haid Son Vigorin Viyakev Lamali. Now, of the three positions, the Tanakama makes the most sense in terms of there are three different categories, because remember, according to the Tanakama, five from each. But according to Shita number two, Rabbi Yehuda, I got it right. And according to Shita number three, Rabbi Shimon. So according to those Shitas, meaning they're just giving you a sum number of either 30 or 50. So why would the Torah now give us three categories? So the Gemara says, "Haimi by lelicha detanya." I'll tell you why. Because of the following brisa, Yachol lo yemanikim elamitzon garen v'yakov minan l'rabbis kol davar tamalam asher brachoshem lokecha. So I would have thought that the severance can only be comprised of the three examples of the Torah. How do I know that you can give him anything of value? Because the pasuk says, "Asher brachacha." So imkem atamalam mitzon v'garen v'yakov lamalacham matzon garen v'yakov miyuchanim sheishnam bechal bracha. According to Rabbi Shimon, what is the Torah teaching us? You have to give, the severance has to be made up of something which reproduces. Animals, grapes, right? In other words, grapes have seeds. So in other words, those are things that reproduce. That's bracha, right? I've said this before. I happen to really like this, right? The word bracha is all a function of the number two, right? The beis is two, the resh is 200, the chaf is 20. It's all two, meaning it's multipliers. So in other words, same things that reproduce. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Amar Yatsu Parados. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it can't be a mule. A mule doesn't reproduce. And Rabbi Shimon, Parados Meshkechan Begufayu. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? A mule, so it does increase, it does grow. In other words, you could work your land with it. And finally, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Amar Tzafim Avid Behuiska. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, money also reproduces. It's called capitalism. In other words, you take your money, you invest it, and it also can grow as well. Okay, no, that's a signifier that this is a good place to stop. It's not a good place to stop, but it's a good place. It's a good place to stop. Okay, Adkan, we did good today. Okay, we'll pick it up tomorrow.